around this morning, had a good turnout, had a good spirit. I saw some people doing some surrendering in their heart and mind. We get in the new church, we call it new, it's new to us, but there'll be room where people can get out of those pews and come down the aisle. It's kind of hard to tell four people to move so you can get out from the wall over there. But anyway, I did see some faces that were making some decisions. You can always tell when the Lord is working on somebody. Y'all don't see it. I see it. Can't hide it. I see them mad. I see them sad. I see them happy. I see them befuddled. What is he talking about? And I see them get right with God too. In chapter 8 of Romans, verse 17, he is talking about our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1, he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And he talks about how our flesh dies and how we're born again, and now we're not debtors to the flesh, but we're debtors to Christ. We owe him. So by the time he gets down to verse 17, and he said, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Tonight I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes about being partakers of Christ. Partakers, and I'm going to explain that a little better in just a minute. He said in verse 17, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's a legal term, heirs. You ever heard of that old story, somebody is always looking for a rich uncle to die so they can inherit everything he's got? Well, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago now, I got a word and I got a letter telling how I had a distant cousin, way distant cousin, actually was supposed to be my first cousin, but I can't tell all that. But anyway, he lived in California. He'd never been married, he'd never had any children, and he passed away. Well, he had if I can remember the beach, it may be Vero Beach or something like that in California. I don't know. I'm just guessing, okay? Something like that. But I remember that they sent us a picture of his house, and it was right there on the street that goes down into the beach. And I thought, well, this guy, I mean, where did he get that guy? That's where the movie stars live, you know, and stuff like that. And it turned out that the man had a lot of property, and they're going to sell off all his property. And I got all excited till I saw the list of the people that are going to be joint heirs. Yeah. Going to inherit it together. They started searching the books and ended up, I don't know, it's like 30-something people. And some of them got kind of excited, and my niece, she saw me in the store, and she said, "Boy, this is wonderful." I said, "I don't know about this." I said, "If it goes through all those people, you'll be lucky to get you enough to buy you a burger somewhere." Amen. Yeah. But in Christ, see, we're joint heirs with Christ. We are partakers of everything that his Father owns. We are also co-heirs, joint heirs. We are inheritors of those things. Now, listen to me. Most Christians never think past their salvation experience. Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. It's fixed. Well, that's just a small, that's a wonderful portion. Don't get me wrong. But it's just a small portion of what being a Christian is really all about. And in Romans chapter 8, he said, now that you're not condemned, now that you're not in the flesh, now that you're a spiritual being, now that you know that the law can't make you perfect, that only Christ can do that, and now that you've been proclaimed part of him and called part of the brethren, verse 12 said, now that you know you're a debtor to him, let me tell you what you're going to get. Most people don't know. They say, well, I get to go to heaven. I said, well, what you going to get? Well, I get a mansion. Okay. All right. What else you get? Well, I'm going to get a new body. Well, that's wonderful. Mine's about wore out. I need a new one. But what else you going to get? And I preached about mentioning it just a little bit this morning on the benefits. He loaded us with benefits. Now, I've had jobs that loaded me with benefits, but those jobs are few and far between. Amen? Nowadays, most jobs have no benefits. You work in a good place, you got some benefits. And I don't ever want to hear you guys complain about your work because y'all got some great benefits. Most people have no benefits, Brother Danny. They get paid and that's it. They get paid by the hour. And so, but as a Christian, when you got born again, and I presume Sunday night, most of the people that come are Christians. If you're not, hang in there and see what you can get by joining up. Amen. Amen. And so, as Christians, there's a lot more to what God has given us than just heaven. There's a lot. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to go to heaven. I'm excited about it. There's a place up there with my name on it already. Don't misunderstand that. There's a lot more to getting a new body. Thank God I'm going to get a new body. I'm looking forward to it. An eternal, everlasting, incorruptible, immortal body that'll never get sick and die again. But there are things in this life as well as the next life that we can have by being joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Most of us, when we die, we don't have much, and they're going to have some kind of something, and somebody's going to read something, and maybe a will that says, oh, well, Brother Ron had a truck or two trucks and had a car. He got two trucks. Man, it's rich. He got two trucks. And he had a truck or he had a car. And he left it to so-and-so. He left it to so-and-so. Well, that's wonderful, but you got to die before they can get that. And some of them's praying right now. But anyway, I want that truck. But as Christians, our benefactor has already died. And he's already paid the price. And we already have an inheritance. Yes, amen? Yes, and most people don't even... Brother Billy, what if that rich uncle of yours died and left you a house up in the hills of West Virginia? That's where your daddy came from. His people came from, right? Hills of West Virginia, Ohio or somewhere up there. Nod your head, yeah. Make me look good, okay? All right, okay. So, I just know it came from something. But suppose it left you a big old two-story mansion and you didn't go get it. And you didn't sell it. You'd be a fool, man. And I'm sure you got one. Aren't you sure you got one up there? Amen. Amen. So I want everything that's coming to me, don't you? And I don't want to wait. I want it right now. And the Bible tells us some things that we are joint heirs in right now. Number one, Hebrews 3:1 says this, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, I am a joint heir with Christ Jesus of a heavenly calling. A heavenly calling. Now, most people live for today. They live for the flesh. They live for the moment. Most preachers, these young preachers, and I'm not being critical of being young, but a lot of young preachers know nothing about church history. They know nothing about the history of our country. They know nothing about their denominational history any farther back than the moment that they started. They don't care to look back any farther. They don't care to look at their heritage and be proud of where they came from and thank God for where they came from because, see, they're the new and improved model. And they don't need to worry about all that old stuff because those people were ignorant and unlearned and they wasn't doing it right. So the young crowd's going to come around. They're going to fix it, Brother Ron. That's why church looks so good today, doesn't it? But I'm not like that. I am a partaker of a heavenly calling. And when we got saved, we lost our goals and we lost our ambition and we surrendered to His calling instead of our own calling. Some of y'all act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Everyone, as a child of God, has the same calling as Christ Jesus. Now, His calling was this. His calling was come to seek and to save that which was lost. His calling was to come live an exemplary lifestyle, holy and blameless. His calling was to preach the gospel to every creature. His calling was to go into all the world, His world, and preach the gospel and rescue the perishing and care for the dying and get people saved. Amen? Get them ready for heaven. Did you know as a Christian when you got saved that became your calling too?
Amen.
Did you know there's no such thing as a secret Christian? Some of y'all act like that shocked you. A Christian is not a secret disciple. You can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ and be a part of His calling and people not notice it.
All right, yeah, come on.
Now you don't have to wear a t-shirt, and that's where far as most people's Christianity goes now. They got this t-shirt that says, I'm blood bought, born again, saved by the blood of Christ. That's about all the testimony they ever, it don't come out of their mouth, it comes off their t-shirt. Or they might have a hat that says Jesus saved. Well, that ain't the way it's supposed to be done. It's supposed to be done that we proclaim it by our mouth and by our lifestyle and by our holiness separated from the world. So when you got saved, you were supposed to lose your ambition, lose your goals, and surrender them to Him so He can give you a better calling. Well, preacher, I want to make all the money I can before I die. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, preacher, I want to be famous. Famous people come and go. You're only famous for just a few minutes. And then you're gone. And a week from now, they won't even remember your name. That's the truth. So I surrendered that day. I went down the aisle. I surrendered my will to His will. And I said, Lord, whatever You want me to do, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it. You're just going to have to help me do it. Amen?
Amen.
So I inherited His calling, and so did you. You say, I'm not a preacher. You are a preacher. You're either a good one or a bad one. But everybody's a preacher. Women complain. They said, we can't be preachers. Women have been preaching ever since the Garden of Eden. Amen? Some of it wrong, but they've been preaching. Arrows coming at me. Fiery darts coming at me. Men have been preachers ever since the garden. Now, Jesus said it. The abundance of the mouth, the heart, the mouth speaketh. Thank you. I lost my place there, brother. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And He said, fresh water doesn't come out of a salty well. Amen? So, we've gotten saved. So, why don't we not be ashamed of Jesus and just talk it and walk it? That's our calling right there. You say, well, I'd like to be a great missionary. Kids were studying missions on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights, whenever it was. And they learned about some great missionaries, you know. And boy, you read some of those. I think Mike or somebody bought that book. Fox's bought a book of martyrs up there at the Sword. Holroyd bought it. And Holroyd got reading in that thing that goes all the way back to the first church, historical examples of Christians who were burned at the stake and pulled apart by horses and fed to the lions. Holroyd read it, and that part of it, it's about probably a 300-page book. And he read part of it, and he told me next day, he said, preacher, I've been reading this, and you know what I discovered? I said, what? He said, compared to these people, I'm not even a Christian. He said, I'm hard to give up anything for Christ. Nobody's threatened to kill me. Nobody's threatened to kill my wife and children. I feel like I'm not even a good Christian compared to these people. Now that doesn't happen much in our country, but even if it did, we ought to be partakers of that calling. Preaching the gospel. Sometimes people say, well, how can we get people into the church? Preach the gospel.
Amen, that's right.
Well, how do we get young people to go to church? Preach the gospel. Well, how do we get people to stay? Preach the gospel. You don't need to reinvent the Bible. People get saved the same way you got saved.
Amen.
All you need to do is tell how you got saved, and they'll get saved too. Is anybody still with me?
Amen.
All right, we're partakers of that. Number two, we're partakers of Hebrews 12:10. And while you're turning there, I typed it out so I wouldn't have to turn there. My thumb is killing me. No, I already had just typed that. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but for our profit, that we might be partakers of his what?
Holiness.
What?
Holiness.
Holiness. I thought we were Baptists. All Christians are holiness. Amen?
Amen.
He says that we're joint heirs, so we're to be partakers. He said it right there, of his holiness. Now, not your holiness. You don't have any. Your old flesh will lie to you and tell you did some great work, and when it does that, it lied and it ain't a great work. Or your old pride will raise up and say, well, look, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't date girls that do. And your old pride will swell up, you know, and you'll think, I'm a pretty good Christian. And no, you just ruined it. Your pride ruined it. Amen? You have no holiness. So we are partakers. We've inherited his holiness. And when you got saved, God took God the Son's holiness and laid it on you. And now he accounts that for your righteousness. So when he looks at you, he doesn't see your holiness. He sees the holiness of Jesus Christ that you are a partaker of. He's put it on you, see.
Amen.
Now that doesn't discount that what Jesus said that we're to be holy. We'll live right. That doesn't discount that. Matter of fact, if you have the holiness of Christ, it motivates your spirit by his spirit to live holy.
Come on now. Yeah.
Look here. I don't avoid sin to go to heaven. I don't. I sin all I want to. Yeah. I just don't want to. He gave me a new nature. Now I don't want to sin, see.
Right.
It ain't that I'm denying this stuff so I can be good enough to go to heaven. No, sir. I don't want the stuff anymore. He's given me his holiness, and holiness hates sin. So when I'm around sin, I do fall for it, and we all do. Would you say amen and oh me right there? And we do fall for it just like Adam when his wife said, this is good stuff, you need to take you a bite. And we all fall for it for whatever reason, then we're convicted by the spirit of holiness that lives in us, and we immediately turn to Christ and confess it is sin. And he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I am a partaker of his holiness. Now, I'm tired of people stealing biblical doctrine and using it for things that are not true or misusing it. And to say that all Christians are not holy, only a certain denomination or holiness people, is a misuse of Scripture. Help me. Now, I think a woman ought to have hair. I don't think a woman ought to shear her head. The Bible says that. But you can let your hair grow down to your ankles and it's not a sign you're holy. Help me. I think a woman ought to look like a woman. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Oh, you don't need to wear your husband's clothes. They ain't going to look good on you. Amen? But even if you wear dresses down to your ankles and your sleeves down to your fingertips, that still doesn't make you holy. The holiness you have is from Jesus Christ, and that will inspire you to look right and behave right and talk right and walk right and live right. Amen? The Baptists used to say, boy, somebody gets saved, they go down to the industrial mill or somewhere, and somebody offer them something, you know, some kind of sin. They say, no, can't do that. Can't do that. I'm living for the Lord now. When was the last time you heard somebody say that? That was as foreign to us. We didn't know what they were talking about. But what they were talking about is, God's changed my heart. Now I have a heart of holiness. Those things do not appeal to me like they used to. Y'all still here? That's holiness. See? And he gave you that. Billy, you didn't wake up one day and say, I think I'll just quit smoking pot. I'm confessing your sins, by the way. I don't want to do mine tonight. They all know mine, so I just confess yours, okay? Say amen every once in a while, okay? You didn't just wake up with that wild head of hair you used to have way down here. And you'd have made an ugly woman, by the way. But and by the way, these gender-confused people, I'm not confused about what they are. They make ugly men when they should be women. They make ugly women. Anyway. But you didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm just going to cut all my hair off and look like a man because the Bible said. No, you didn't. You got saved. And the Holy Spirit said, all right, now you need to start changing some things. The holiness of Christ that came in you and on you, you became a partaker of that. You didn't just wake up one day and say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to find me an old-fashioned barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, preaching church where they sing the old hymns and people shout and they cry and they're not ashamed of Jesus and they want to look right and live right and all this stuff, and I'm going to find me one of those churches and I'm going to be a Christian. No, you didn't do that. Before you were saved, you said you'd go to church and say, I hope they're going to play some Led Zeppelin today. I hope they're going to play some, some of y'all won't even know who I'm talking about, Moody Blues. They're going to play some Moody Blues. Some of y'all say, I want to go down there to church today because I want to hear them sing just like Elvis. Oh, I hit a sore spot on that one, didn't I? I better go on. This fellow told me one time, I was witnessing to him, and he used to drive a limo. He was a chauffeur, and he drove a bus. That was his side job, his limo. And he told me, he said, one time I got this call to go to the Charlotte airport many years ago, and he said, when I got there, I had to pick up somebody, and Elvis Presley come out and got in my limousine. He said he was a wonderful man, said we talked all the way to our destination, and said then he gave me $100 tip. He said, I know he is a Christian. I know he is a Christian, because when he sang that song about down in the valley, the hair would stand up on the back of my neck and up and down my arm. I said, well, is that a qualification for being a Christian? Because if it is, I've never been saved. But look, you didn't wake up wanting to change. You woke up, you got saved, then he changed you. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm a partaker of his holiness. I believe in it. I don't think you can live like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, look like the world, and win anybody to Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. Well, we got to do this to get the young people in. Didn't get me in. I used to be one of those people, and I was farther away than most of the ones that are claiming they're getting in today. I needed some old-fashioned preaching. I needed some old-fashioned. I needed to feel the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of the world. Amen. What they're giving out today, you can get at any rock concert. I better go on. Amen. And then in 1 Peter 4:12, he says this in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened unto you. But look at this. Okay, are you there yet?
Yeah.
But what?
Rejoice.
What?
Rejoice.
That's in the Bible. Fiery trials, we rejoice. Yeah. Why? In so much as that you're partakers of who?
Christ's
sufferings. It's his suffering, see. And guess what? One day you're going to see him with exceeding joy, it goes on to say, because of that. Now, I am a partaker, listen, of his calling. I am a partaker of his holiness. And I am a partaker of his sufferings. This world's never been kind to believers. Matter of fact, the Bible says, beware if all men speak well of thee. Jesus said this, He said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. He said, they persecuted me. They're going to persecute you. And he went on to say, later on, he said, some of you is not even going to live because they're going to kill you. Now, where does this... We've Americanized this. We've Americanized. You watch that hippie preacher on television, or that one that claims to give you $1,000 back every time you send him 10. By the way, you ain't never got it yet, have you? Amen. He claims you're healing every time you put your hand on the television. Though there is a feeling there. But modern day Christianity is not biblical Christianity. It doesn't include suffering. According to the modern Christian preacher, prophet, priest, whatever they might call themselves, if you become a Christian, you won't suffer anymore. And that's a lie. That was hatched in hell. Amen. Preacher, I wouldn't say that. I know you wouldn't. That's why they called me to preach. That was hatched right in the belly of hell. The devil said, tell them there's no suffering. Tell them. And listen, the kind of faith they have, there is no suffering. Because see, the devil doesn't bother his children. He's already got them. People say, well, that's a den of the devil down there. No, the devil ain't down there. The devil's got that crowd down there at the liquor and the joints and the marijuana and the crack and the coke. He's already got that crowd. Why would he go down there? It's the church he's after. The devil goes to church more than most Baptists does. He shows up every service. If he's not there, he has a representative. And I've met some of them, by the way. And he has some representatives. And he'll lie to people and say, come on, say this little prayer and you'll never be sick again and you'll never want again and everything's going to be lovely and everything's going to be roses, because he knows if you do that, you're putting your faith in the wrong thing. And then down the road, when the suffering comes, you're going to desert that faith.
That's it. Come on
now, yeah. See, the faith we got, we can't leave. It's eternal. We, Brother Bill, we can't even walk off and leave it. Our Free Will Baptist friends tell us, well, you can always walk off and leave that faith, not be a Christian anymore. That's not what the Bible teaches. How long is eternal, Brother Ron? I got eternal life. How can you walk off from eternal life? I'm going to live as long as God lives. So now, he says, you're in my hand. My hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. And guess what? I can't pluck myself out. He's adopted me. He's paid for me with his own blood. And I'm not going... And by the way, who would want to? If you ever really got born again, you'd do everything you could not to want to do something like that. Amen? You wouldn't believe how many believers I've met in jail. Yeah. I go in there and they'll say, Pastor, pray for me. I ought not be here. I'm guilty of sin. But if I'd have done what I was supposed to do, if I'd have stayed in church, if I'd have stayed in the Bible, if I'd listened to my saintly mama or my saintly grandpa, I wouldn't be here today. Preacher, pray for me. And I've asked God to forgive me, and he has. And you pray I have strength to stay at it while I'm in here, and when I get out, live like I'm supposed to. Now, that's real. And then I have them others, and they come in there. Hold on. In jail.
Yeah.
At the preaching. They only made one mistake that came to my preaching. Pastor, you remember me? No, I don't think I do. Pastor, you remember me, don't you? You remember that other time when I was in jail? Pastor, you saved me. I said, that's probably why you're in jail. You need to let Jesus save you. So I can't save nobody. Amen. But we're supposed to be partakers of his suffering, and going to jail for our sin that we're guilty of is not his suffering, that's our suffering. And I wouldn't hurt your feelings. Well, maybe I would. If God wants to take these seeds, if God wants me to quit smoking, He'll take them away from Him. He will, right when that doctor says you got COPD or asthma or cancer, then He'll take, then you'll think that God did that, but God didn't do that. You did. That's not His suffering, that's your suffering. You did that. Amen. I better go on. I can tell them some things that are going on. Amen. So I'm a partaker of His sufferings. We ought to, everybody in here ought to be persecuted for our faith at some time. If we're living and walking as joint heirs of His calling and joint heirs of His holiness, then we ought to be living and walking suffering because we're joint heirs with Him in His suffering. You know, I used to judge my preaching like this. If I don't make the devil mad, I probably ain't doing a real good job. And we ought to judge our life like that. If somebody does not like us because we are Christians and for our morality and our standards of conduct because we love Him, then it may not be a problem with them not liking us. The problem is we're not living up to His holiness, so therefore we're making no enemies of the world.
Come on, man. Yeah.
You go around this town. You talk to these preachers. Fellow came to church one day. He said, I said, who told you how to get here? He said, the pastor of North Rock Hill Church. Now, that's one of those secret Baptist churches. I didn't know there were secret Christians, but there are. They're all over town now. And they don't put Baptists on their name, so they're secret Baptists. They belong to the denomination. They give money to the Southern Baptists, but they take Baptists off their name because they don't want to offend anybody. There's Christians like that. Don't tell nobody I'm a Christian. I'm doing this to keep my wife happy. Yeah. Amen. Man, I said, what happened? Listen, if He suffered, we will suffer because we are joint heirs, so therefore we take His name.
Amen.
And we take His doctrines and we take His teachings. And that's why He suffered, so why would we not suffer also? I'll give you a good... They don't even have litmus paper anymore, do they? They used to have litmus paper. You know, you could test water to see if it had too much alkaline. I'll give you a good litmus test. How many people have you made angry lately because of your faith?
Yeah.
Well, preacher, I don't want to make my daughter mad. I don't want to make my granddaughter mad. I don't want to make my son mad. I don't want to make my grandson mad because they might quit coming to church. Well, they ain't here anyway. Well, I don't want to drive them away. Well, I don't know about you, but I take it very seriously. I think that if we're not driving them toward Him, then we are driving them away.
Come on now. Yeah.
I'm the shepherd of my family. Quiet on what happened. Well, preacher, they're my friends. I'm afraid if I get too serious, I'm going to lose my friends. You'll lose some. He lost a lot of them. And one day they all walked off but His disciples, and He looked at them and said, will you leave me also? That's what they said. Where are you going to go? You have the words of life. But we'll be partakers in His suffering. I don't like to suffer. I'm a man. Men don't like pain. That little old thumb is killing me right now. And men don't like pain. And I go to my wife with sympathy, and she says, don't tell me about pain. You ain't never had a baby. Suck it up. Go on. Women are not very compassionate when it comes to pain. God bless you had a baby, but I'm still mama's baby. Have a little sympathy. But nobody wants to suffer. And then we're partakers of his promise. Boy, I'm so happy. Ephesians 3:6. He said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Do you know what promise he's talking about? God came to Abraham one day and he said, Abraham, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. He said, Lord, I can't have a baby. My wife can't have a baby. Look how old we are. He said, you quit worrying about that. I'm going to make you of a great nation is going to come out of you. And like the sands of the sea, he said, you're going to have so many descendants. And of course, Abraham didn't know what he's talking about. He said, but here's what you got to do. You got to leave Ur of Chaldees. You got to get up and go. You can't stay here. And I'm going to lead you. But I'm not going to tell you where we're going until we get there. And I'm going to give you directions on the way. I'm not going to go ahead and boy, this would have blew a woman's mind. They won't plan where you're going to stay, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Men said, just get in the car, let's go. Amen? How much money you got? $5. That'll buy some crackers. I'll buy some crackers and a Pepsi. Woman, no, I can't ever go nowhere not knowing where I'm going. I got to be prepared. That's why he told Abraham and not Sarah. Dan, you can say amen right there. This is South Carolina. Men get to say amen. Okay. Amen. There you go. Or you can do it like they do in North Carolina. Amen. Amen. But he told him, he said, I'm making you a promise. I'm going to lead you to a city whose builder and maker is God himself.
Amen.
Now, I inherited that. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ of a city that's never been seen. It's got golden streets and walls of jasper. They're so rich up there. Each gate, there's 12 gates, and each one is made out of pearl. I'm a country boy. I never had very much. I grew up poor. But I get to reading this stuff, and I say, man, I ain't never seen nothing like that. And everybody else says, we hadn't either, but that's what God promised.
Amen.
And that's where I'm going.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So I'm joint heirs of the promise to Abraham to find a city whose builder and maker is God. And then last but not least, I have a divine, I'm promised, I am a joint heir of a divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, and I'm going to quit. 2 Peter 1:4. Now, don't get me wrong. Our nature, read Romans chapter 7, is corrupt. That beautiful baby that you have, or that granddaughter, grandson, or 14-year-old, what are you, 14? 12-year-old or 10-year-old, they have a corrupt nature. Son, it ain't natural in you to do right. What's naturally in you is to do wrong. We were born that way. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Adam sinned. We are all descendants of Adam. We are. When he corrupted his nature that day, we all have inherited his corrupt nature. Y'all still with me? How many of you that had children had to teach them how to tell a lie? Raise your hand right now. How many of you had to teach children not to lie?
Still working on it.
Still working on it. How many of you had to teach your children to get mad and fuss at each other? How many of you had to whip them to get them to quit fussing at each other? How many of y'all got along with your brother and sister so good you just couldn't hardly stand it? No, the other way around. You couldn't hardly stand them. But the point is this, that our nature that we're born with, it comes out lying. Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. But preacher, I keep the commandments. Liar.
Yep.
But preacher, I love my neighbor. Liar. But preacher, I tithe. Some liars. But preacher, Hey, I witnessed some lie, but look, that's our nature. That's what, if we do what's natural, according to Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul said, that which I would not, I do. He said, but that which I do, I would not, but what I would not, that I do. That's the way he said it. How many of you ever find yourself, and don't raise your hand, we don't need you confessed in front of everybody, that includes you, Billy. How many of you ever find yourself doing something you say, man, I thought I'd never do that again. I thought I'd never say that again. I thought I'd never go there again. And you find yourself doing it, and the Apostle Paul says, but it's not me, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. He said, so therefore, in my flesh, this thing right here, I can do what? No good thing. But then he goes in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what?
Spirit.
We've inherited that spirit. The day that he saved you, he put his spirit in you. Jesus said, I've got to go away for the comforter to come. And I'm going to send the comforter and he will be in you. When you got saved, you invited Jesus Christ in your life. He's not the one that came in. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for you. It's God the Holy Ghost that came in you. And that is the divine nature of God himself.
Yes. Amen.
If you've been saved, God's in you. Now there's a battle going on between the God nature and the Adam nature. And you know who's going to win? You've inherited both of them. One you inherited wrongly because you was born a human. The other one you inherited as a joint heir of Christ. The same Holy Ghost that performed through him is living in you. And the one that you feed the most and pay the most attention to, that's the one that's going to rule and reign in your life. He says if you feed the flesh, you're going to die to the flesh. You're going to die. Look, the wage of sin is still death. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. God having the life change in me of having Christ in me. Now look, I'm still that little redneck boy that grew up in Lancaster. You know what I'm talking about. South side of Lancaster, right down there at Gooch's Crossroads, an old airport crossroads. And I'm still that boy. I'm just as cute as I ever was. But that nature's still in there too. That nature that when mom said, you do that, uh-huh, no, no. Who done that? I don't know. Now that nature's still there, but now there's a God nature moved inside of him. And he's walking around inside. I'm possessed man, brother. I'm possessed by the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
He's living inside of me. Now, I've inherited that. I didn't ask for that. I got that. That's one of the benefits. Amen? I don't have to work for it. I don't have to pray it down. I don't have to believe it. He's there whether you want to believe it or not. If you got saved, he's in there. And every once in a while, he's going to manifest himself. He's going to show himself in your life. We inherited that. But Mike, you didn't get that in that Church of Christ baptismal pool. You got that in salvation. Y'all didn't get that joining the church. He came in you that day that you accepted Christ. He's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not your faith getting you to heaven. It's his divine nature that gives you the faith that you're going to heaven. It's not you that's living a Christian life. It's his divine nature in you that's living the Christian life through you. All you've got to do is surrender to it. And did you know after you get saved, it's easier to obey him than it is to disobey him?
Yes.
Because, see, he's a lot more powerful than old Ron Runner here. And he can twist me and turn me any way he wants to. So I need to listen to him.
Amen.
I did tell you stories before. And if you're living the Christian life, you're a joint heir and behaving like a joint heir, when you walk in a room, have you ever noticed people scatter? It's not you they're scattering from, it's him in you. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you're talking about biblical things, they just stand there and look at you like, is this guy on medicine or something? It's not you they're hearing, it's him they're hearing, see?
Right, yeah.
When you have a funeral, they'll gravitate toward you. Because you have the comforter, the divine nature of God living in you. And whether you know it or not, you are a comforter because the comforter lives in you. And they like to be around you when there's tragedy. When 9/11 happened, we had about a 2-month revival.
Yes, we did.
Didn't last long enough, but about 2-month revival. People were begging for Christians and preachers to come to New York City and pray with these people that they were digging out of the rubble and have prayer meetings and preaching services and all that. For about 2 months during that tragedy, the lost world begged for people who are joint heirs with Christ to have God in them, and they knew we had God in us, that we might come and rescue them, Brother Danny. And then all the dead died, and all the funerals were had, and all the sick got well or they died. And then all of a sudden, they don't need our comfort anymore. Because then, after the comfort isn't needed anymore, they begin to see our holiness. And the holiness convicts them of their sins. You never wonder that at work, why they only call on you when there's trouble? Because you are joint heir with Christ and the Holy Spirit living. Not just saved from hell, but partakers. We got a part. Hey, we have a part in great things in this life and great things in the next too. We are partakers. But you know what you have to do to be a partaker? Join in. You got to get in there and join in it. Here's what I found out a long time ago. I used to start things and say, now, Lord, will you help me do this? But I quit doing that. Now I look to see what the Lord is doing, and I say, Lord, can I get in on this? I want to be a partaker of what He's doing.
Amen.
You don't need to be a partaker of what I'm doing. I need to be a partaker of what He's doing. How about you?
Amen.
I can tell some of you this went right over your head tonight. But tonight you're going to wake up in the bed and say, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Let's stand. Father, I hope.